Sorry everyone, I somehow was confused and thought the talk was tomorrow. So a little less prepared, but I've got a lot of things to say, and I'm open for questions all the time, so if you have something to ask along the way, please do so. Good. What I wanted to talk about today is ham radio, as most of you know. What's the first thing you think about when we say ham radio? Old people in a Radio Shack talking. That's exactly the image. That's part of it, but that's exactly the image I want to counter. There is so much more to the hobby than that. Anything else, or is it basically just old men in a old dusty shack? That's the image. That
big ass antennas.
Big ass antennas. That's the cool part of it. That we need, or we can use very much. But yeah. Okay, so old man in the shack, yes, that's definitely part of the hobby. Part of the hobby is, of course, radio communication. We'd like to talk with people all over the world, and that's very much possible using ham radio on the lower frequencies, where, yeah, we have HF radio from, yeah, like 1.8 megahertz to 30 megahertz, depending on the time of the day, on the radio conditions. You can reach the entire world with like 100 watts without need of satellites, without need of repeater stations in between. So that's a nice part of the hobby as well. So depending on the time of the day and the frequency, you can reach a lot of people without internet, without satellite communication. So definitely for emergency radio, that's a very nice thing. So there is also, so there are the people who really like the talking part, talking with everyone. That's nice, but there is way more. There is the building of everything. There is all the stuff you can do with it as well. And to immediately give an hacker example, anyone know this radio? It's a Quansheng radio. Yeah, Baofeng is also one of the Chinese brands. This is a radio you can buy for 20 euros on the Chinese web shops. And, well, I actually... Yeah, now I'm working as a teacher. I don't have all the fancy equipment anymore, the measurement equipment. Before, I was working as a radio engineer, and I had all the fancy spectrum analyze material, and I once measured the Baofeng back in the day, and it was totally fine. The harmonic rejection was perfectly within the norms. Not yet, no. So I thought it was yesterday, I thought it was tomorrow, I thought I would have all day to make slides, so... It's a bit more improvised, but we'll manage, and we'll make it a nice talk. So this is a radio, 20 euros. These days, most radios are software defined. In Belgium, at least, you need a license to have it. You are not allowed to have a radio that transmits without a license. And while this one probably isn't properly CE ready as well, so actually, you're not allowed to have it, but there is the loophole that as if you have a full license, you're allowed to build your own radio, and you should be able to certify that it's working within the legal limits. So you can say, well, I updated the firmware on this. This is DIY, and then you can get away with it. But you're responsible. You have the full license to do this thing. So 20 euro radio, usually it sends on VHF, so around 145 megahertz you can transmit with it. UHF, 430, 440 megahertz. And that's what it's built for. And it works. But when hackers got to work with it, completely reverse engineering all the firmware that's in here, now we suddenly can receive from 14 megahertz up to 1.3 gigahertz. So we can receive a lot more with this device. We can transmit there, but that's when you will have a problem with the harmonics. Because this is made for the VHF-UHF band, so it's filtered there. There are also amplifiers on those bands. If you will be transmitting on HF, you will have 5 milliwatts there, and the harmonic that is in the VHF band will have 5 watts. So definitely not recommended. But for listening, it's nice, and I hope this radio suddenly got way more buyers than probably the distributor ever imagined. So let's hope, a bit in the way that the Atmegas became very popular when Arduino was there in the day. Let's hope that the manufacturers will see, hey, it's nice, the hacker community is doing this. They might need a little bit more memory to put more features in there. And maybe we have to make it broader. We have to eliminate the amplifier or adapt it or make it possible to disable it so we can transmit on low power on all kind of frequency bands. So that's something really nice. Actually, quite recent, it's the last half year that the community around this one is really exploding, but also the very nice things you can do with ham radio. So yeah, very technical hobby. So we discussed talking to each other over HF. That's nice if you've got a lot of space for the very big antennas indeed, because a very basic antenna is a half wave antenna. And when you want to transmit, for example, on the 160 meter bands, 1.6 megahertz, yeah, your antenna, your ideal dipole needs to be 80 meters long or vertical 40 meters high. That's a lot of space that people in America probably have. If they live in the countryside, they have like the next house is miles away. Most people here in Europe, or at least in Belgium, the Netherlands, the very populated countries, don't have that kind of space. So they're a bit more limited in that regard. Something else very technical that we do, and I'll see if I can put up a picture here. I'm part of the Oscar Tango 5 Alpha contest team in Belgium. I don't know if anyone of the hams here maybe have heard about that. So we're a very big contest station in Belgium. We have an entire fortress that we can use, and we put all that kind of huge antennas there. And then we do contesting, multi-multi contesting. What does that mean? We have like six frequency bands on HF from 160 meters, so 1.6 megahertz, to 10 meter band, 30 megahertz. We have six frequency bands there where we will be active during a contest. And with 1.5 kilowatts on each of those antennas. That's a lot of power, and you need to do a lot of things to make sure you don't blow up the receiver of the other radio stations around. And so it also gets very technical to monitor those kinds of things. So there's also a very technical part. So let's show you a little video of now we should have video. Yes, great. No connection with the internet. That's internet is down here? No? Let's see, this one is better, and this is tab number 3. So we can use a very big fortress-like thing at the contest station, and we put a lot of antenna towers on there. Usually when you want to put up an antenna tower like that, you have to dig out a hole, pour a bunch of concrete, and put your antenna on there. Well, what is a fortress? 3 meters of concrete, just some chemical anchors, and we can put antennas. So we have all these antennas. They're a little bit close to each other, of course. So we have to make sure that they don't interfere too much with each other. So yeah. By the way, if you're in the area and like to visit, you can always contact me. It's a nice place to visit one time. Yeah, there was something. I will give you my contact details at the end of the presentation if you want to be there. Again, very sorry for the mess up from my part. But yeah, so That's those kind of antennas for people who are not too familiar. I talked about a dipole, so that's a half wavelength. And if you put some in front of the other, this one actually is a dipole. The other one are parasitic, so they are not powered by anything, but they will influence the signal to go more in one direction and a bit less in the other direction. So that's a Yagi or a beam antenna. So these elements are 5 meters. And yeah, it's nice to have a lot of space to put up those kind of things. That's the tallest one we have there, 40 meters high. So that's a quarter wave antenna, vertical antenna for 160 meters. To operate all this, we need the people who enjoy operating and being there talking on the radio all day, but we also need very much need the technical people to keep that thing alive. The amplifiers we use there are actually still tube amplifiers. These days we can use transistors, but the problem with transistors is if you put a little bit too much power in there, or you got a little bit too much reflected power from the other side, it says boom. And that's 300 euros, 400 euros of transistors that are gone. And yeah, we did some tests, and every time we tested it, we blew up at least one of those transistors. So not that great. But the tubes, yeah, we use tubes that have actually been used in the east of Germany when there was still a wall. They used it to transmit all kinds of bogus signals to block radio transmissions from the west. So we repurposed those tubes. Of course, we put filters to not make it a broadband amplifier. So very concentrated, we amplify our signals with it. So that's also a very technical part we have to keep in mind. And yeah, so a contest like that, how does it work? So we have the 6 frequency bands. We always have 2 radio operators. We have one that is always calling, hey, we are Oscar Tango 5 Alpha. Does anyone want to talk with us? And we have another one who is searching for other radio stations that are doing the same. We want to make the most amount of contacts multiplied by the amount of countries we contacted. That's the score that we will have. In a weekend like that, we have several thousand contacts across the board, like 10,000 contacts in a weekend. But that needs 50 people, a team of 50 people who are at the radio, 2 hours on, 2 hours off to make those kind of things work. So we need the people who like to make the connections, but we also very much need the technical people. Some other nice things we can do with ham radio, we can talk to satellites. There are a lot of satellites with ham radio payload in the air. It can be some research satellites that just broadcast some of the research data, some of the measurements they do back to Earth. But there are also the radios who have a transponder. So we send on one frequency and it repeats on another frequency. With that, with the lower orbits, like 300-400 kilometers above the Earth, yeah, we can get like 1,000 kilometers away. So that's nice. You have to time it. It comes over. You have the Doppler shift, because first it is coming very quickly towards you, and then it's going very quickly away from you. So we have to compensate that. But then we can talk with way more people over a bigger distance. And a couple of years ago, actually, a very rich man decided, well, I want a geostationary satellite up there, somewhere above Qatar. And geostationary, that's very high up. It covers like half the Earth. So it's from a little piece of China is still covered, and a little piece of Brazil is still covered, and everything in between. So Europe and Africa is completely covered by that one satellite. So we can also use that to communicate, to send video. That's on higher frequencies, because we have to uplink it on 2.4 gigahertz, frequency all known to you probably, and we downlink it at 10 gigahertz. So a little more work goes in there. Other cool things to do. So 2.4 gigahertz, Wi-Fi. How far does it go, Wi-Fi? throw out some numbers. Even outside, so no walls to block it. Give me a number. 100 meters. 100 meter, yeah, you can go a little bit further. If you have really the directional antennas, you can go a couple of kilometers if you have line of sight, and then it stops. Yes.
Actually, power out of your antenna increases, and then you need to tune down your amplifier because they measure the power out of your antenna and not the power out of your transmitter.
Yeah, so you have to compensate indeed for the gain. So the effective isotropic radiated power has to be the 1 watt, the 30 dBm that is specified indeed. But you also gain in reception. So if you put a big beam to receive it there, that's where you get really the gain. That's how it works. An antenna, it's like the Yagi, a dish, how it works. I like to explain it with a big cone. Everyone remembers if you take a cone and you talk into it, people over there will hear you much louder. People over there will hear you less. Same in reception. If I put that cone, put it to my ear, I can hear a lot more signal from that direction. And a lot less from there. So yes, we have to compensate it in transmit, but we can still use the gain in receive. So it really helps to get a lot further. But yeah, so Wi-Fi, let's say a couple of kilometers. As ham radio operators, we can use the frequencies right beneath the Wi-Fi band. So from 2.3 and 3.9 something gigahertz to just below the Wi-Fi band, we can use that with 400 watts of power, and with we don't have to compensate for the antenna gain. So we do contests with a dish, 1.5 meters, and we put that on top of a hill of some kind, and then we try to make contacts. And then what would be the limit at that point for radio communication? Line of sight. So regardless of the power, line of sight. Yeah, maybe I can cover 1,000 kilometers, but here is a hill. Yeah, it stops working. And we have the curvature of the Earth that doesn't really help us either. So let's assume the Earth is not flat. So we have the curvature of the Earth. So at a certain point, we're hidden beneath the Earth, even if we're all at ground level. So that's where it stops. And then we can go to the very nice technical things. Guess. We have some metal things that are high up. Satellites, a little bit lower, a couple kilometers. Airplanes, well, they are metal. They reflect radio signals. So if I want to make a signal, for example, yeah, 500-600 kilometers away, that's possible, not straight, but we make a scat. Yeah, we really have to, on the internet, say, well, we want to try communicating with each other. We have the very large beam. It's like opening of 1 degree. We really have to point towards each other to make it work. And then we will see, well, there is a big Airbus 380 that is right between us at that time. Let's try at that time to make a connection. So it's called airplane scatter. And we will really use the airplane to bounce back our signal and to make the communication at very large distances with those frequencies work. So the furthest I've gone with 2.4 gigahertz is like 600 kilometers, someone in the Alps on a big hill. So that's really nice to be able to do these kind of things. There are also conditions. So sometimes, depending on the weather, you have the radio signals that can bounce between some layers of air to get way further. For ham radio operators, it's perfect. We like it that not every day we turn on the radio, we can communicate with the same people. No, sometimes we get further, sometimes we get less far. I worked as a radio professional. That's a hell for us. A couple of times a year, I got calls from the land, the tram company in Ostend. Hey, well, we hear English chatter on our channels. Yeah, well, at that point, there was conditions. Great for amateur radio operators. But the professional people in Ostend don't want to hear the people from the UK. They want to communicate with their own vehicles. So that's a little bit unfortunate there. But a lot of conditions, a lot of very technical stuff. And there are things we understand about how the signals propagate, but there are still things that we can only observe and make some assumption based on what has been, definitely on HF. On HF, we have the cycle of the sun, the 14-year cycle of activity with sunspots, and we know that has some influence, but we don't really have exact formulas to tell it. So it's still a bit of magic, and that's why I like the radio. It still stays magic. I technically know how it works, but it's still magic that I can push a button here and wirelessly, 5 kilometers away, it can be received. So ham radio, very technical hobby as well, so we will reflect on everything that we can reflect on. We have the airplanes. We can also, on asteroids, we can also reflect on asteroids. We even have moon bouncing. We have people who bounce their signals of the moon. And you can hear yourself back, because the speed of light, 300,000 kilometers per second. The moon is like 500,000, something like that. You get 2 or 3 seconds later, you get your reflection. So when you stop speaking, you let go of the microphone, you hear the last 2 seconds that you transmitted via the moon back on Earth. So very nice stuff as well. You need a lot of power for it and very big antennas for it, because actually all the signal that gets to the moon, you already have the very big distance, free space path loss, so the further you go, the less power arrives. So you have that signal that comes by, and then 3% of it gets reflected by the moon. So you need a lot of power, a lot of big antennas. But at that point, again, you can talk to half the world. Half the world can see the moon, and you can talk to everyone that sees the moon at that point. It has been used before, the ham radio used by the military to communicate before there were satellites. Of course, the emergency use now. In Europe, definitely in the more denser populated countries, we don't rely on ham radio anymore to make our emergency communications, because there are satellites everywhere. But still, I have my radio. If I hook it up to a battery, if I throw out a wire into my garden, then I have some radio coverage, and then I can contact people if I'm in distress. So very nice for emergency communication as well. Good. Next to that, there are, of course, a lot of software-defined radio things. Has any one of you heard about GNU Radio? GNU Radio, a couple of people also, very much from the open source community. It all started actually with a DVB-T receiver USB stick, €20. And it uses software to really pick the frequency, decode every signal. And turns out you can use it for everything else. You can receive a lot of signals with it for a couple of euros. And that really sparked something in the software-defined radio. And these days, all radios are software-defined. It used to be that in the radio, there was a crystal at a certain frequency, and you mix your signals together, and that's what you get as a result. These days, everything is software-defined, so we can do a lot with software. We can hack a lot with software. And those are things that hackers can do. But the people who are only making QSOs without much technical background, QSO is a connection. Ham radio people like to speak with three-letter shortcuts. That's from the time of the Morse code. If you want to say conversation or QSO, it's a bit of a difference there. Morse code actually still used in radio today. And I also learned it. It's very nice to learn, because you can get way further with Morse code than with voice. Because if you want to, you need quite a strong signal to interpret the voice. But to hear the difference between a beep or no beep signal and no signal, you can have way weaker signals that you can still understand. Of course, these days, if we go to the digital modes, we can go even way lower. We can go below the noise. Because there are some techniques that we can use to get signals from below noise level. So with digital communication, we can even go further with our radio signals than before. And there are also some very nice digital modes that are being developed by ham radio operators. The old men who are talking in the radio all the time, they don't like it. They say it's fake. You're not making the conversation. It's your computer that's making the conversation. So they don't like it. Because there are also all kinds of awards that you can get by contacting 100 countries and those kind of stuff. you get rewards. And they're easier with the digital modes because you can receive way weaker signals. I can just throw a wire out here a couple of meters, add a tuner to it, and I can communicate digitally with most of Europe. I don't need a big tower, so the people who have the big tower, they're a bit grumpy about it. Well, I used to be to have to build a big tower to get this kind of awards, and now you can get it with a wire inside of your apartment building even. Yeah, they don't like it, but it's very something very technical that you can do with it. I talked a couple of times about the license. For ham radio, you need a license. There are a lot of things you can do without a license. Those are the ISM bands, industrial, scientific, medical. A big example that most of you will probably have heard of is LoRa, LoRaWAN. They are usually working on 868 megahertz. They use a signal of 25 dBm, 14 milliwatts. World record, over 1,000 kilometer covered with that. So imagine that we as radio operators, we can put a couple of kilowatts behind that signal, what that will do. So that's a nice thing. But without a license, ISM band, you can do a lot of great stuff as well these days. And actually, in to ham radio clubs, I give the opposite talk. Here I'm talking, with a license, you can do this and this. At ham radio clubs, I'm telling, well, without a license, you can already do a lot of great stuff, a lot of cool stuff with things like LoRa as well. But yeah, we can do a lot more with our license. But you need a license. Why? Because the signal that I put out can be heard across the globe. And you need to be a bit responsible for that. If you do something wrong, if you don't filter the harmonics, as I already heard, they can hear you on the frequency you're transmitting, on double that frequency, three times that frequency, four times that frequency. And that might not be ham radio frequencies. Maybe you're talking on some military frequencies or some air force or some air frequencies. They don't like it when you're messing with their frequencies. They need it for emergency communication, so they don't like it. If they find you, you will get fined. Definitely if you do it on purpose, but you will get fined. So you need a license to prove that you understand the risk, you know what you're doing, and in most countries, there are two types of license. You have the basic license, and you have the full license. Sometimes you have a license in between. So the basic license, you don't need much technical knowledge. You need to know a little bit of electronics, Ohm's law, and series and parallel resistors and stuff like that. You don't need to go very far there. But you need to know the legislation. You need to know what you can and cannot do. If you have the basic license, you can transmit on most frequency bands with low power, depending on the country, 10, 20, 50 watts of power. When you get the full license, you can do a lot more. Also, with the basic license, you're not allowed to have a modified radio. So the radio with the firmware updated, you cannot have it. You can only buy radios from the shelf and use that. You can still be creative with your antennas. And with your antennas, you can also achieve a lot of things. You can also do a lot of nice things with antennas that you're allowed to experiment with. But the radio, you need to know, well, I bought something. It has a CE label, which means that all harmonics are suppressed as needed. And then you can use it with the basic license. It's usually a little test you need to do for that. You have the basic license, and you have the full license. For the full license, you need to study a bit more. You need to be able to make an amplifier with a transistor and some kind of stuff you need to do with it. You need to know how a transmitter works. Basically, the old kind with the oscillator. The new kind, software-defined radio. In Belgium, it's not really in the exam yet. Yeah, it's in the book, a 100-page book. There's one page that says a little bit about software-defined radio and about digital modes. It's all analog. It's all mixer blocks. You need to study it a bit, and also the legislation is very important there. But with a full license, also depending on the country, in Belgium we can transmit 1.5 kilowatt with our full license. I think here it's around 400 megahertz if you don't request more very specifically. It used to be the same in Belgium, you need to request more power, but that law is gone. We can now use 1.5 kilowatts. Watch out with that. I live in an apartment in Antwerp. If I do that in my garden, then my neighbors will be very mad at me. Because, yeah, with that kind of power, you will always, of course, have some... my voice will be heard in probably some of the microwaves or stuff like that, technical equipment around. So we have to watch out with that, of course. So you need a full license. You get a lot more responsibility. But at that point, you can build your own transmitters. You can build your own stuff. I have a Dutch book with me for Belgium with the legislation and all the technical knowledge. Technical knowledge should be very similar because there it's unified. It's called HAREC, and that's the same in all of Europe, most of most other continents as well. In South Africa, it's also used, for example. So if you do the exam at one country, you can have a license around the world. And I can also, for example, I have my Belgian license. I can operate my radio here in the Netherlands as well. You get a call sign. Mine is Oscar November 8 Whiskey Romeo. A call sign Oscar November, that's Belgium. For people who know airplanes, it's very similar. Belgium is Oscar Oscar, so it's also very close to that, very close to those kind of letters. So you get a license, but here in the Netherlands, they use Papa Alpha. If I'm in the Netherlands, I use Papa Alpha stroke Oscar November 8 Whiskey Romeo, and I can use my license. Legislation is not always aware of that. Once I was in Berlin with a car with still a bunch of antennas on the roof, I was driving around looking for a parking spot. It's not that easy in Berlin. So I was driving around, police stopped me. Hey, what are you doing with those radios? He also has had a bunch of Tetra radios, so the one that they use for the communication for the police as well. I worked in Belgium for law enforcement. It was not on their, it was not on their frequencies. But they started asking a lot of questions, and I told them, well, hey, I have a license here. Yeah, but it's a Belgian license. It cannot possibly be valid here in Germany. It was. They didn't know. They looked me up. I was very fortunate at that point. I still had NATO clearance. So I did some radio communications for them. Once they found it, it was fine. Here you go. It's fine. But yeah, law enforcement doesn't always know if that's possible. And how can a Belgian license possibly be valid in Germany? That's HAREC, so we can use it in across Europe. Good. Very improvised talk. Any questions from you about radio, things you always wondered? The best thing usually, if you say, I just want to focus on getting the license, is contacting your local, so you have the always a big radio club, that is a couple organization of all the radio clubs. Those are best to contact because they will have all that kind of information. The test usually has to be done, in Belgium it's the BIPT, Belgian Institute for Post and Telecommunication. So they make the law, they make the rules. And there is UBA, Belgian Union of Radio Amateurs. That's an organization that makes a book with everything you need to know. So if you really want to study specifically for the radio exam, write to them. They probably have a book. They probably have some training classes that you can follow. Or otherwise, look online on YouTube. There are some nice American Ham Radio Academy videos. They cover way more than you need for the exam. But if you're interested, go look at their video, or at least from the regulator, download the page with all the information, what you need to learn, and look at those kind of videos. There are plenty to find to get started with it. Good question. Other questions? Yeah, indeed.
I do have my license, and I know a lot of cool projects being done by ham operators that are not specifically for older people, but for getting younger people to participate or something. It's not just for older people.
It's definitely not for older people. That's indeed what I wanted to talk to you about. And if I see the younger audience, I see that there is a lot of interest mostly in the satellite stuff. So there, satellite or fox hunts is also something very nice. You go hide a transmitter somewhere and you try to find the direction, find it, to go get it. That's also something that's very, that young people are very interested in. Actually, by now, I think in 2018, I went to South Africa with youngsters on the air, so with a bunch of young people. Back then, I was also a bit younger. I was still just within the category of youngsters. So it's like until 25 years old, and then until 30 years old, you can be there with a group of younger people. So I was with a group of younger people there. And it's very nice to see that there are actually quite some young people that are still interested. But you need to know the hobby. Most of the time, it's son or daughter of a radio amateur. Scouting as well in the Netherlands, that's a big thing. In Belgium, we tried it, and it's not really working. The jamboree on the air, that's what you're talking about, yeah? Yeah, jamboree on the air. Yeah, so that's very big in the Netherlands. In Belgium, unfortunately, we don't seem to get it off. We've been to some scouting happenings to try to set something up, but they're really not about the technical stuff anymore in Belgium, so... bit unfortunate, but yeah, that can be a very good introduction as well, if you have people who are interested. And then usually you let them build a tower, and you put up an antenna, and they've built a tower to make the antenna, and they can contact the world and scouts around the world. It's a very nice thing to do as well, indeed. Good?
Thank you.
Sorry again for being late.